Dr. Jerry, you got the whole world waiting. Been ready for you to start the conversation. Your point of view, it got the haters confused. Leave it up to you to bring us all the good news. Positive vibes and the sex appeal too. Dr. Andre Jerry, can I get an interview?
Welcome to Live with Dr. Andre Jerry, your primetime destination for bold conversations, unfiltered truth, and real-life inspiration. I'm your host, Dr. Andre Jerry, broadcasting live from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Tonight's episode is proudly sponsored by Indeed.com, a leading platform dedicated to helping people find meaningful employment. So whether you're a recent graduate entering the job market or a professional navigating a transition in your career, Indeed is going to provide the tools and resources that you need to apply, connect, and get hired faster and more efficiently. And we'll share more about our sponsor later in the show. Okay, so we're 2 weeks into the month of May. And as I'm sure you've seen from all of the graduation pics on your timeline, graduation season is in full effect. And so in light of that, I'm dedicating this week's episode to the class of 2025. So really, a big congratulations to all the graduates who made it to the finish line, made it across the stage, and have advanced to the end of your academic career. You guys made it through all the virtual classes, the economic chaos, the political shifts, and really generational burnout. And now you're walking across that stage with your heads held high and your diploma in your hand. And so that's not just a win, that's a true testimony of you guys' endurance and resilience. So I really want you to take in this moment and celebrate this huge achievement in your life. And I don't care if you're graduating from an Ivy League university, HBCU, a state university, community college, or a tech school. Following any course of study through to completion is definitely a big deal that's worthy of your celebration. All right? Because for every graduate that's walking across that stage, just think about it. There are thousands that either dropped out, flunked out, quit, or didn't bother to pursue their education at all. So seriously, I hope you guys take a pause to just reflect on all of your hard work and dedication that led up to this moment. And if you have a graduate in your family or in your social circle, take a moment to congratulate them and give them, you know, a graduation thumbs up or on their post. You know, these young people worked hard. They really did, and they definitely deserve a pat on the shoulder. But let's talk about what happens after all the fanfare and the celebration phase, right? The real question is going to be, okay, what do I do now? So tonight, we're going to talk about some real talk, and without all the fluff. You know, that's why I titled this episode Real Talk Class of 2025, because somebody's got to break down what's really waiting for you guys on the other side of that diploma. The economy, you know how it's going right now, the job market, the salary expectations, all the rejection, and the opportunities also that are out there. But most importantly, we're going to talk about your strategy. And I'll also share a little bit about my own story. We'll talk about some of the highs and the detours and the grind and how I pivoted from graduate to having an incredible career in the defense sector. All right, so Class of 2025, I want you to grab your notebook or open your notes app because this episode is all about you. All right, so like I said, I'm super proud of this graduating class, and I'm going to tell you why. You guys aren't just walking across that stage with a degree. In my estimation, you're walking across that stage with a battle record because all of you have had to navigate a five-year stretch really unlike any other generation in modern history. Because, I mean, think about it. Look at what you guys have lived through during this academic journey. The first thing, it was COVID, right? The global pandemic, it shut everything down, your campuses. It flipped your entire learning experience upside down. You guys were forced into remote classrooms and virtual labs. I know you got sick and tired of Zoom, definitely got some Zoom fatigue. You had internships that were canceled, and a lot of your friendships and social connections became a lot more distant as well. And so really what was supposed to be the best years of your life sort of felt like you were in survival mode. There's a lot of isolation and uncertainty, going on in the world, and you guys had to adapt to a new normal that we all haven't had to adapt to before. And so while all of that was happening, then there's the economy and how it took a wild ride. We had the inflation that's still happening. There were interruptions to our supply chain. There were layoffs in every sector. You watched your families, your communities, maybe even your own job be impacted. And we talked about food prices in one of our recent shows. Food prices went up significantly. Rent skyrocketed. And don't even get me started on student loan debt. That's been a roller coaster for years between deferments and the student loan interest and the promise of debt cancellation that was going to come about. That was kind of dangled in front of you like a carrot by the last administration. That fell flat. So I know a lot of you may feel like the system played you a bit. So when you factor all of that stuff in, and not to mention all the pressure with the coursework, the finals, just trying to stay focused, it was a lot. But you guys adapted, and you did whatever you had to do to stay afloat. You know, a lot of you DoorDashed, Ubered. You worked double shifts, held things down at home, or just found any type of way you could to keep everything together. And for that, you really do deserve some serious credit. And then there's the political chaos that you guys lived through. It was one of the most divisive presidential elections in recent memory. And, you know, for years now, the news cycle has been just a constant repeat of nonstop misinformation, performative politics, debates over your rights, by the way, from voting, student loans, reproductive freedoms, basic civil liberties, all of this stuff. And you guys were just trying to finish your undergrad degree or finish your senior year capstone. And then, boom, enter AI, generative AI, exploded on the scene and really changed a lot of things about how the world works, how we communicate, how we approach our work and our projects, even how a lot of these companies that you're applying to, how they hire. And see, right now, you guys are graduating into a job market where companies are trying to figure out if they want to hire you or they want to hire a bot. That's really what it's come down to. So really think about that. But what impresses me the most about you guys, class of 2025, you guys didn't fold under all that pressure. You didn't drop out. You didn't disappear. You didn't let all that stuff I mentioned bury you. You adjusted. You stepped up. You logged in. You went to your courses. You got on Zoom 100 times. You pressed forward. You finished. You lived through a global pandemic, economic shifts, this mass cultural and racial stuff that's going on, technological disruption. You know, we're just in a really unstable world right now, but somehow you guys made it all the way to the finish line. And that tells me something really important about you guys. It tells me that you don't just have knowledge, you've got it. Okay, you don't just have potential, you have the proof of your potential. So you guys just don't deserve success. You are definitely fully equipped for it. Because listen, if you could complete your education during all of that stuff, then you've already proven that you have what it takes in this unique job market that we're in. So hats off to you. You know, the fact that you're here right now, tuned into this show, you're ready to face the next phase of your life, that speaks volumes. You know, you're not the lost generation that a lot of guys are making you out to be. I think you guys are awesome. So today I'm saluting you. And we're going to get into the hard truths about the job market and all of that. But just remember, you've already proven that you have what it takes to navigate tough terrain. So now let's just get you ready to own it. All right? So listen, if you are graduating with your master's degree, then great. Congratulations. You're stepping into the workforce with a clear competitive edge, right? You've gained relevant experience along the way, hopefully. And really earning a master's, it signals to employers and recruiters that you're bringing a lot more to the table than book knowledge. You've developed specialized skills along the way, some strategic thinking, and just a level of professional commitment that's going to set you apart from your contemporaries. And this is especially true in high growth fields like data analytics, finance, health administration also, technology, any technology-related field, and also in education. These are all sectors where advanced degrees, yeah, they're respected, but they're also expected for you to have those. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, professionals with a master's degree earn about $240 more per week than those with only a bachelor's. So think about that. Over the course of an entire career, that's going to add up to a lot of money, almost a half $1 million in additional lifetime earnings. So it's not just a credential. That's actual leverage. And what that means is that a master's degree is going to pay for itself. So you're not going to just be breaking even if you invest in yourself and get your master's degree. You're going to be building equity in your earning power over the years, and you're going to be opening doors to leadership opportunities and much higher salaries and really increase career mobility over time. But I want to speak directly to my bachelor degree students for a moment, because earning your undergraduate degree is definitely a major achievement. It is. So yeah, go out and get those reps in, pursue the entry-level positions, build your resume, and just do whatever you can to find your rhythm in this workforce that we're in. But while you're doing all of that, I want you to start thinking about what your next move is going to be. And I strongly encourage you to consider pursuing your master's degree. And why do I say that? Because, like I said earlier, in today's oversaturated market, a bachelor's degree is going to give you an edge. You know, it's become really the bare minimum. I always say the bachelor's degree is like the new high school diploma. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, over 2 million bachelor degrees are awarded in the U.S. every year. And really what that means is when you apply for a position, even one that just says bachelor's required, you're likely going to be up against a long list of applicants who have their MBAs, they have portfolios, they have a long list of certifications, they have their relevant experience, you see? And companies like, especially your Fortune 500 companies, they aren't just hiring based on degrees. They're going to be hiring based on impact potential. They're going to want to hire analysts and strategists and project leaders. So these are going to be your candidates who sort of rise to the top. They're going to be the ones who have combined education and can execute projects. So let's talk about some more statistics here, because these are really important and drive the point home. The 2024 GMAC Corporate Recruiter Survey says that 92% of global employers plan to hire MBA graduates this year. And the average U.S. starting salary for MBA grads is $125,000. So that's more than double that of bachelor's only candidates. So you see the gap there. It's kind of more of a canyon than a gap. And I know a lot of you are thinking, look, I need a break. I can't really afford grad school right now. I don't know if I'm ready. You know, I get all of that. I really do. But let me offer you this. I don't want you to wait until you feel like you have it figured out, everything figured all out. Or, you know, you can work and you can pursue your master's. And that's what I did when I finished my undergraduate degree at Mercer University. And a shout out to the Bears, Mercer Bears. I've seen a lot of graduation posts about my students who go there. But when I finished my undergraduate degree, I didn't take a year off. I wanted to. I was tired. But a few months before graduation, I attended an MBA information session that they had on campus. And I'm really glad that I went to that, because it broke everything down. They talked about the various concentrations that I could take with my MBA. They talked about the timeline, how long it was going to take, the cost associated with it, and then also the value of pursuing and achieving your MBA. So at the end of that information session, I walked out of that room knowing that, wow, if I want to stand out in this job market, I really need to keep going. So I did. I took probably 2 months off. I took just enough time to catch my breath. And then I enrolled in grad school. I pursued my MBA full time. I also worked part time, but I put my focus on my MBA. I was also running my own tax prep business, Metro Tax Group, which I still have. And I was also delivering for Jason's Deli, which, by the way, was one of my favorite jobs. It really was. Most of my deliveries were to corporate boardrooms. And I remember thinking, one day I'm just not going to be delivering to these boardrooms. I'm going to be sitting at the head of the table. And that vision actually came to pass. So it just reminds me of that scripture, as a man thinketh, so is he. I believe that. And the Lord eventually blessed it to manifest. So this is what I'm going to tell you. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Okay? Don't buy into the pressure of image and comparison. If you've got to Uber or bartend, stock shelves at Target, do whatever you got to do to buy yourself the flexibility and the focus that you're going to need to advance your education. Because trust me, it will pay off. Now, like I said, you can pursue your degree full-time, part-time. Most people do it online now. That's fine. There's also fellowships that you can leverage. There are employer tuition reimbursement programs. There are a bunch of scholarships. The point is, if you're intentional and if you move strategically, then you can elevate in your academic career without drowning in a lot of debt. So I'll say it one more time. If the bachelor's degree is something that you're graduating with now, then that's a strong start. But don't let it be your finish line. If you want to future-proof your career, if you want to go from applicant to asset, if you want to lead instead of just labor, then I really want you to consider enrolling in a master's program this fall. So don't just enter the workforce, elevate in the workforce, because we're in a world where they got a degree now. So what are you going to do to make yourself stand out? All right, let's talk about the reality of the market that you guys are walking into. I wish I could tell you that everything is going to be green lights and signing bonuses, but it's just not going to be that. The truth is, you're going to be stepping into what Forbes magazine called a frozen job market. And that really sucks. I've been reading some reporting trends. A lot of the hiring for the entry-level positions are slowing down across all the industries. And it just seems like every day more and more employers are slashing job postings. They're delaying onboarding. They're consolidating roles. And unfortunately, that's hitting you guys the hardest, the recent graduates. Let's talk real quickly about salary shock. Okay, so for years, the standard narrative in the industry has been, look, go get your college degree, secure your bag, but it's just a lot different now. Forbes is averaging that entry-level salaries are declining and will continue to decline over the years, especially in non-STEM majors. And in a lot of industries, wages are flatlining, even though the job descriptions and what you're expected to do, the job expectations are growing heavier and more weighed down. And here's the kicker. A lot of these so-called entry-level jobs, they require 2 to 3 years of experience. So if you're fresh out of college, you got your degree in hand, you're ready to hit the ground running, it's like already the system's telling you you're not enough. You know, it's what I call the entry-level paradox. You need experience to get the job, but you need the job to get the experience. And see, here's where things get even more real, because the job market is so iffy and tight right now. A lot of these entry-level jobs, which are meant for the recent grads, they're being scooped up by people who already have their MBAs and already have several years of work experience under their belt. You see, normally those candidates wouldn't even be applying for those jobs. They'd be applying for mid-level or leadership roles. But in this weird economy that we're in, they're just trying to get in anywhere they can. So if that means taking a step down just to get their foot in the door, that's what they're going to do. And so that's going to create this saturated market like we're seeing now. You know, there's a lot of overqualified applicants that are competing for jobs that that you're supposed to be getting. And the companies, they're just doing the math and they're saying, hey, well, listen, why not hire the MBA with the 3, 4, 5 years of experience instead of the new grad that doesn't have any job experience at all, right? So it's not personal. It's just all about survival. The applicant is just trying to secure a place in the company. They're trying to get a job. They're trying to hope to level up from the inside. And the employer, they're just trying to get the most value for their money. Because their point is, if they can fill an entry-level position with a well-qualified MBA candidate, you know, paying the same entry-level salary, then that's a huge savings for the company. But for the recent grads, it kind of sucks. It creates a nightmare scenario because you've done what everyone's told you to do. You've checked the boxes, right? But now you're sort of standing in line and it just keeps getting longer and longer and the bar keeps moving higher and higher. So that's why I say don't just meet the minimum requirement, beat it. And that underscores why credentials like your master's and your certifications and your internships, they just aren't bonus points anymore. They're almost becoming barriers to entry, things that you have to have in order to be competitive. So that's what I said earlier. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Right now, it may make sense for some of you to go after that more low-hanging fruit, the opportunities that other people think that they're too good for, right? Because pride is not going to pay the bills. It's not going to pay your tuition. And, you know, I know some folks probably looked at me sideways back in the day and was thinking, why is this dude delivering sandwiches for Jason's Deli? But, you know, forget them. I love that job. And, you know, I had an end goal in mind. And I was making solid money back then. You know, on a bad day, I brought home $100 cash. And that's not including my hourly pay. And I ate pretty good. You know, Jason's Deli kept me fed. It kept me focused. And I was able to fund my way all the way through grad school. So just let people talk all the noise that they want to talk. You know, what's important is that you support yourself. You pay your way through your MBA program. And when it's time for you to pivot and level up, you'll do that. You know, no one job is your identity. You know, some jobs, especially the ones that you get right out of college, those are vehicles. They're going to serve their purpose for an intended period of time. And, you know, you be grateful for it. And you just, when it's time for the season to be over, you move up to the next thing. But don't let anyone shame you for where you start, especially if where you're headed is somewhere they could never go, okay? Now, let's pivot and talk about small businesses for just a moment, because how they're faring in this economy right now is interesting, because a lot of small businesses, believe it or not, that's where new opportunities for graduates were a lot of times, but opportunities with them are also starting to tighten up. I read a report a couple of days ago from the Boston Globe, and it kind of gives some more context to this. It's saying that the economy is still in recovery mode, and we've seen that. And it's really been in recovery mode since COVID-19. There were a lot of shutdowns and, like I said, tech layoffs, a lot of banking instability. So a lot of companies are still in this mode of cutting costs, looking for ways they can further cut costs. And unfortunately, that translates to a lot of hiring freezes and opting for more seasoned workers who can do more with less. And just a few more stats on this. According to Gusto's new hiring report, a lot of small businesses are hiring at a slower pace. And that's also because of inflation and automation and the economic uncertainty that's going on with the tariffs and other things. So many small businesses are choosing to automate what job positions they can. A lot of these administrative positions and junior roles, normally that would have went to you guys, but they're choosing to use AI and automate wherever they can instead of hiring people to fill those jobs. You know, so the takeaway is this: the job market, it just isn't competitive, is cautious right now. Employers aren't hiring out of optimism like they used to. They're hiring right now out of necessity? What positions do they actually need to fill? So that means you'll need more than just your diploma to stand out. You're going to need some type of strategy. Okay. Now, let's talk about what employers want versus what graduates expect, because that's where things get kind of a little bit more interesting. There was another survey that I read by Charles Russell, and it was talking about a growing gap between what Gen Z graduates want from their careers and what employers are actually offering. So I want to break this down a little bit, because I noticed that there was a huge disconnect and disparity here. Gen Z, and I love this about y'all, I really do, but you guys prioritize mental health and work-life balance and flexibility. You also want to feel like your work has a purpose. You know, you want your job to mean something. You want space to breathe. You want to feel like you're doing more than just being a cog in a machine. But on the other side, on the employer side, they're still operating by that old playbook. They want reliability over flexibility. They value experience over what your potential is. And they really want someone with a solid work ethic versus someone who is concerned about their wellness and their mental health. And so none of these values are really inherently bad, but what happens with this disparity here, it creates this friction between young professionals who are entering the workforce, who are expecting mentorship, they're expecting coaching, they're looking for collaboration, but instead they're running into this steel rigid hierarchy and these expectations that are unrealistic. And there's also a huge expectation gap when it comes to salary. So understandably, a lot of graduates are coming out of college expecting salaries in the range of 60, 70, 80,000, maybe even 90,000 starting out, especially if they've taken on a lot of student loan debt. But what I'm seeing is that the market is not necessarily reflecting that. Outside of tech and finance, it may be a little different, but typically offers are coming in around 40, 50, up to the $60,000 range. And that's even if you're fortunate enough to get an offer. Okay, so like I said, there's a disconnect there. It's leading to a lot of disillusionment, really. And that's not a good thing, because what's happening is that you're finding yourself starting to second guess yourself and your choices. You'll be thinking things like, did I make the right choice in the first place? Did I pick the right major? You know, was going to college even worth it? You know, this feeling that you're being set up to fail. So I want to reassure you, you're not wrong for wanting more or expecting more. You just need to learn how to navigate this gap in between what your expectations are and then what the current realities of today's workplace are. And so that's the whole goal of this episode this week, is to sort of help you bridge that gap. All right. So let's continue to explore this topic from the employer standpoint, because it's really important to understand how the recruiters are thinking, the people that are on your hiring teams, how are they approaching hiring in this current market? According to Forbes, nearly 90% of employers say that they are reluctant to hire recent graduates who lack experience. That's a really tough truth, because like I mentioned earlier, how are you going to get experience if no one is willing to give you experience? So that's one of those things where, you know, your degree will get you in the door, maybe, but you're going to have to hustle to make sure that you get hired and get placed somewhere. My good friend Reggie Bullock has a really dynamic book called It's All About the Hustle. I really recommend you read that. In it, he talks about developing a mindset of achievement, going after the things you want in life, and harnessing the energy that's required for you to be successful. So it's a good read. But in terms of what the employers are looking for, let me just sort of translate what they're meaning here. To get that experience that you may be lacking and to, you know, be on par with your contemporaries, you're going to have to volunteer. You know, volunteer and offer your services pro bono if you need to, just to build some experience. You can start a blog. You can start a special project, or even start a business. You know, anything to give you a track record of performance. Like I said before, there are plenty of internships and freelance opportunities that will enable you to build a portfolio. You can even join communities and, you know, attend different webinars and get certifications that will complement the knowledge that you got when you were in college. So the point is just to do whatever you have to do to manufacture momentum. Because if you're waiting on permission in today's market, you're just going to be unemployed and just overlooked, really. So the point that I'm driving at is that your degree is just a baseline, okay? So you got to think about what else are you bringing to the table. And if no one's handed you a roadmap on how to fill that gap between graduation and being ready for this job market, then like I said, this is what this episode is about. So I'm going to give you a set of tools that can help you in this regard. Maybe look into exploring some applied learning platforms like Forage, where you can complete some real-world business scenarios that come from top companies. A lot of companies look at this type of thing, and if they see where you have experience with helping to resolve problems that they see in their business on a regular basis, then that's going to set you apart from your contemporaries. You can also use things like Coursera and Google Career Certificates, LinkedIn Learning. All of these will help you gain some practical industry-recognized skills, from project management to all types of stuff. And I know a lot of you are probably thinking, look, I just got out of school. I'm not trying to take any classes right now. I understand that. I really do. When I finished my doctorate, I didn't even want to open my laptop, let alone step into a classroom, you know, but you got to do what you got to do to differentiate yourself in this current job market. So just hang in there with me and take note of some of the stuff that I'm telling you. If you've heard of Handshake.com, you may want to create a profile on that platform. It's a job platform that's built specifically for college students and new graduates. Okay. And if you have skills like graphic design, or if you want to get into consulting, you can offer your services on Fiverr or Upwork and start already building a portfolio that you can show employers and demonstrate on your resume. But just remember that you're going to have to hustle. Hustle is a multiplier. It's going to build your confidence. It's going to build your credibility. It'll help you build connections. And then all of that combined is going to give you a momentum, and that's going to go a long way in making sure that you get noticed by your hiring managers and your recruiters. And it's just a tough market. It's a tough market out there. The competition is really real, but your options are as well. But you have to be willing to work towards those and make yourself more competitive. All right, we're going to pause right here and take a quick commercial break and hear a word from our sponsor for this week's episode. But stick with me, because when we come back, we're going to dive into what to do when the job market doesn't meet your expectations. And I'll also share results from a recent poll that we did where I asked the following question. If you could go back and give your younger self advice about your first job, what would it be? So we got some really good responses from that. Some of the answers might even surprise you. So be sure to stick around. We'll be right back.
All right, class of 2025, let's talk real quick. If you're out here applying for jobs, getting ghosted, overwhelmed, or just straight up tired, hey, I've been there. The search can feel like a full-time job with no paycheck. That's why I always recommend Indeed.com to folks just starting out. It's simple, clean, and gets straight to the point. You set your filters, upload your resume once, and you're off. No fluff, no hoops. Just jobs that actually match what you're looking for. And listen, don't let the job boards intimidate you. You don't need it all figured out to get started. Just take the first step. If you're ready to stop scrolling and start applying, check out Indeed.com. It helped me, a lot of others, and I know it'll help you too. log on to Indeed.com today.
Hi, this is Rhea Fry. Check out my new book, Until I Find You, available now wherever books are sold. You can learn more at rheafry.com. That's R-E-A-F-R-E-Y.com. And you are listening to the Artist First Radio Network.
You asked for it, and now it's official. Live with Dr. Andre Jerry is moving to a brand new weekly time slot. Join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for your weekly fix of news, entertainment, self-improvement, and powerful conversations with entrepreneurs, artists, authors, and business leaders. I'll be bringing you the hottest topics, thought-provoking discussions, and exclusive interviews, all happening live only on the Artist First Radio Network. So mark your calendars and tune in every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, because you don't want to miss Live with Dr. Andre Jerry.
With Dr. Andre Jerry.
Welcome back to Live with Dr. Andre Jerry. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the real challenges facing the class of 2025, from the frozen job market and the salary shock to the growing gap between what grads expect and what employers are actually offering. Now that we've unpacked sort of what I call the storm, let's shift gears a bit. In this next segment, I'm going to talk about how you can navigate through this storm with strategy, survival, and self-discovery leading the way. So we're going to talk about how to survive it and thrive in it. Now, earlier this week, I asked a question to my network, and I got to say, some of the responses were honest and insightful and really relevant to what's happening. So the question I asked was, if you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice about your first job, what would it be? So here is what a few of our listeners had to say. This first comment is from Tasha G. She's a marketing director out of Atlanta. She said, I would tell myself to stop trying to impress everyone and start learning the business. Too many of us focus on looking busy or trying to be liked when the real power is in understanding how the organization actually works. And I really appreciate that comment, Tasha. Definitely focus on understanding why things happen, how decisions are made, and who really holds the influence at your job. You know, that's a good point. Learn the system and learn how to move through it. Okay, comment number two from Michael R., HR consultant out of Chicago, Illinois. All right, he says, negotiate your salary, even if it's your first job. I didn't, and I spent 3 years trying to catch up. The company didn't undervalue me. I undervalued myself. I've been there as well. Mike, thank you for that comment. He's exactly right. You have to set the tone for your future earnings. So, you know, I know you may feel like you're in a lesser position because you're new to the workforce. You're new, on the scene, and you're just graduating. But always negotiate your salary. You know, it may feel uncomfortable. Negotiating. I still am uncomfortable negotiating my salary on some things, but being discomfort is way better than being underpaid. So just do your research. Research what the average salary is for that position, and just know what your number is and be firm about it, but also be respectful. Okay, comment number three. This is from Andrea S., and she's out of Washington, D.C. Andrea says, take the job seriously, but not personally. Yes, yes. You'll get feedback. You'll make a lot of mistakes, and sometimes you'll be overlooked. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It means you're learning. That's good wisdom right there. You know, a lot of you guys are going to be coming in with, you know, ambition, vision, and all of that's great, but just be sure you don't crumble the first time your idea gets rejected, or sometimes your idea will actually be on point and it'll get usurped or stolen from someone else and they'll get credit for it. All that type of stuff happens. But just try to hang in there and don't let that stuff get to you. Comment number four, this is from Jordan M. He is a tech product manager out of Austin, Texas. So Jordan says, I tell my younger self, build relationships early. I focused so much on tasks that I forgot people promote people. And people promote people and people they know and trust. Your work ethic matters, but so does your visibility. And that's absolutely true. That's why I talk about networking a lot and building a connection. Just little things like having coffee with your coworkers and joining committees that are voluntary, showing up to events. You know, those relationships that you build early on in your career, they'll definitely open doors for you later. I found that myself. This next comment is from Danielle F. out of New York City. Danielle says, don't be afraid to leave. My first job taught me that just because it pays the bills doesn't mean it's worth your peace. Yes. Learn the difference between quitting and choosing better. Yes, 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 absolutely. Loyalty is good and all of that, but don't let it come at self-sacrifice. And remember, you guys are not married to your first employer. It's going to feel like, oh, I love this place. I'm going to retire here and I'm going to work here for years. No, you're not. You're not. You're going to stay there long enough to learn, grow, get what you need, but never be afraid to move on when it no longer serves you. Okay? So, yeah, that's some real talk from folks who obviously been in your shoes. They've walked the walk. Thank you again, everyone who submitted comments, you know, to our graduates. Those are some gems. Those are, you know, good advice. And it sounds like it's some lived experience that's going to help a lot of you all. So thank you again for that. And if you're listening and you got some advice or lessons you want to share, then use the hashtag LWDAJ. And just leave a comment on one of our social media platforms, or you can email me at livewithdrandrejerry@gmail.com. And who knows, I might just read your insight or your comment on an upcoming episode, since we're doing weekly episodes now. So there'll be opportunities to highlight your thoughts and your comments on subsequent shows. All right. So we, like I said, we talked about the storm. We talked about the state of the job market. We talked about salary shock. What's next? Because, well, I know this economy is terrible. And here's the thing. We may not be able to control the economy or the hiring freezes or, you know, everything that's happening in government, but we can control how we respond to these things. So I'm going to get into four survival strategies that will hopefully help you to stand out and stay in motion and start building momentum. Okay. All right. So strategy number one. All right. So the number one thing employers say that keeps them from hiring new graduates is a lack of experience. Okay. So your mission now, get experience any way you can. Volunteer, freelance on Fiverr, run some social media ads for your church if social media marketing is your niche. Like I said, start a blog or newsletter. You can tutor high school students, undergraduate students. You can help out with a family business, start your own business. But you really need to do something to fill in that gap if you don't have a solid work history to show on your resume. And don't sleep on being a volunteer, you know, because that's one of the best strategies that you can use to gain some solid hands-on work experience, especially if you're still building your professional foundation. So I don't care if it's a nonprofit, a local business, it could be a church. You could help a friend start their startup. You know, but these volunteer roles can help you develop the skills, expand your network, and then prove that you have value in terms of your work performance and what you are bringing to the table. It's also going to give you something tangible to put on your resume, which brings me to my next point. So I mentioned this in a couple of shows back, but volunteerism is a great way to cover what otherwise would look like a gap in your employment. Gaps in employment can be a kiss of death on your resume if it's not addressed, you know. But if you can say, well, during this time I volunteered as a communications assistant for XYZ company, or I helped manage logistics for a community food drive. You see how that sounds? You're no longer just unemployed. You're engaged. You're active in the community. You're growing. You're contributing. That's the type of energy that recruiters and employers are going to pay attention to. So stop worrying so much about whether it's the right experience and start just focusing on what I call stacking your reps. You don't need permission to build your portfolio. Just take initiative. Just get it done. All right, strategy number two, network like your life depends on it. Like one of the comments said, people hire people, not just paper. So if you're not actively working to build relationships and putting yourself out there, you're really at a disadvantage. You know, you might have a great resume, but if nobody sees it, it's not going to matter. So start setting up informational interviews. You know, do 15-minute virtual coffee chats with people who are doing the same type of work that you want to do. Slide into people's DMs on LinkedIn. A lot of people are open to, you know, connecting on LinkedIn and being socially active and networking. So just ask thoughtful questions. Follow up. When someone adds you to their network, send them a brief note saying, hey, thank you so much for connecting. I look forward to connecting with you in the future or talking more about XYZ. You know, ask for insight on certain things that you're curious about. And don't forget mentorship. Find someone that's already a few steps ahead of you, someone that's been exactly where you want to go. Ask them how they got there. Be coachable and be consistent. And most of all, be curious. And I'll say this, if you're not on LinkedIn, fix that today. Okay? Clean up your profile. Make sure your profile picture is not a selfie. Please. Okay? Add a professional headshot. Post your thoughts, engage with people in your field about, you know, topics that are related to your field of expertise. Because networking in 2025 is not going to happen at the career fairs. It's all online now. Okay? And I know we've all heard this, but your network is your net worth. So build it with intention. All right, strategy number three, be flexible, not desperate. Okay, and I'll break this down. There's a big difference between being flexible and being desperate. When you're flexible, it means that you're going to be open to taking a detour if you need to. You know, even if it's not your dream job, like with me, the opportunity with Jason's Deli. That definitely wasn't my dream job. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would, but that was a detour. But because I wasn't constantly in meetings, I didn't have a demanding work assignment, it gave me the flexibility I needed to study and get through my MBA program quicker than I would if I would have went for working for Blue Cross and Blue Shield or Aflac or something, you know? So be flexible. And yeah, take that customer service role if it's going to help you build your people skills. You know, say yes to a short-term contract because that's going to help you get your foot in the door. So just be open to certain things and just ask yourself, what can I learn from this? You know, what does this role, how's it going to develop my skills? And can this lead somewhere meaningful? How can I leverage this? So you don't need to start perfect. You just need to start in a strategic way. The first job is the launch pad, not a lifetime sentence. So don't get caught up in all of that, but just be purposeful. All right. Strategy number four, learn to sell yourself. Now this one is big. Your value is not just your GPA. No one really cares about your GPA. That's just the truth. If you got a 3.5 or higher, awesome. Love it. You know, but it's going to be your story. It's going to be your skills. It's going to be how you articulate what you bring to the table in those interviews. So you got to learn how to speak your wins. Not in a cringy, braggy, arrogant type of way, but just in a way that projects confidence. So start with stuff like this. Talk about what problems you solved, what tools you used to solve those problems, what was the outcome. If you led a group project, say I coordinated a 5-person team and I delivered a strategy presentation that earned client approval, XYZ. If you worked in retail, you can say something like, I don't know, I managed customer issues, I tracked daily sales and consistently exceeded upselling targets, things like that. Get your elevator speech down, 30 seconds, where you can quickly tell someone who you are, what you do, what you're all about, what's up next for you. So you're not just selling a person with a degree, you're selling the person behind that degree. You're learning how to position yourself and you know, hoping that someone else will not define your worth for you. You have to define it for yourself. All right, we're running out of time here, but look, I know what's coming next for a lot of you guys. A lot of what you're going to go through is going to require a mindset reset. You know, I don't want you to graduate and just log on to social media, Instagram, TikTok, and watch how everyone is thriving. Everyone online is so-called thriving. Someone's going to move to LA for a fellowship, and it's going to be someone's first day at Google and all of that, and someone's getting married. And meanwhile, you might be at home just trying to figure out whether you should apply for a job that's going to pay you $42,000, you know. But let me just tell you something that's going to save your mental health. If it looks like everyone's winning, remember, you're only seeing the highlight reel. So all this social media stuff, I know you guys know this, but sometimes you need a reminder. All this stuff is just a curated collection of peak moments. You're not going to see, people are not going to post about, oh, I got rejected from this job, or here's my student loan bill, or I cried myself to sleep last night, or I had a nervous breakdown after 5 rejections. You know, they're not going to post that type of stuff. So don't get caught all up in that. You're not behind. You're not failing. You're not off track. You're just living in real time. You're living life in real time, not on a feed with all these filters. Okay, so stop comparing your journey to someone else's destination. Let them worry about all that. Let them post their highlights. But focus on your next right step, not what your next photo op is going to be and trying to make it look like this or that. Okay? So remember, you're not going to, you may, some people land their dream job right away, but you probably won't. You know, I didn't discover my dream job until I was 45 years old. And that was after already dedicating over a decade in a career field I didn't really like. I didn't really feel connected to, you know. So like I said, don't sleep on that first job or first few jobs. Don't try to go for the fancy titles. If you get it, great. But if your first job is not glamorous, don't worry about it. You know, do your best. Don't go overboard with trying to get everything to be so fancy and all of this. Remember your purpose, and it's not going to be limited to your paycheck, and your value is not going to be defined by your job title, okay? So just keep going, keep applying, keep showing up. Don't lose sight of your goal. If you have to take a detour, it's fine. It's no big issue, you know? And if you're looking for a blueprint or something practical that you can read that's going to give you some more in-depth tools, then I want you to go on Amazon.com and check out my book, Unlocking Your Best Life. I wrote it just for moments like this, when you're in transition and when you don't exactly know what's next. You want to see some changes in your life, but you don't know how to get started. You know, you're trying to figure out how to move forward, and it feels like the world keeps knocking you down. In that book, I give 10 power moves that you can make right now. It's not going to cost you any money. The stuff you can start doing right now to start building momentum and shifting your life in the right direction. And, you know, having a life that's full of purpose and peace and power. Like I said, you can grab it on Amazon. It's quick. There's no fluff in it. It's a quick read. But it might just be the thing that you need to jumpstart your life in this season that you're in, okay? All right, so before I let you go, here's what I want you to do next. If this episode resonated with you, I want you to share your post-grad story using the hashtag that I mentioned earlier, LWDAJ. You can always leave me a comment or shoot me an email at livewithdrandrejerry@gmail.com. Tell me where you are. Tell me what's your next move, how you're navigating right now, because your story might be very encouraging to the next person or someone else who may need to hear it and need encouragement. Okay, you can catch all of our episodes and our updates on our show webpage. Just go to www. Look at me. I'm showing my age. Who says www anymore? Go to artistfirst.com, and you'll see a list of shows. Just look for my face, Dr. Andre Jerry. Click on that. It'll have a list of all of our shows. Or you can just go to YouTube or Spotify. They're all there. But just remember, that tassel was worth the hassle. You made it through, but the real test is going to begin now. This is going to be your new beginning. This is going to be your runway. This is your launch season. All right, so make it count. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. This has been Live with Dr. Andre Jerry. I'll see you next Wednesday, same time at 6 p.m. Eastern. Until then, stay focused, stay faithful, stay ready, because your next opportunity is already looking for you. All right? Peace. I'll see you next time.